This is the age of being real. Stories about people who have found their unique path in life at any age. I'm Rhonda Miller. This signature music for the age of being real came by way of Nancy Barker. She's a singer, songwriter, and dulcimer and guitar player who created and guided decades of Kentucky festivals showcasing traditional music. I first heard this song, Kites Over the Ocean, when I was browsing through CDs at WKYU, the public radio station where I worked in Bowling Green, Kentucky. The song is on the CD, Angels of Mercy, by the Kentucky Standard Band. The floating rhythm of waves and gentle breezes fit the feeling of my podcast, so I contacted band member Nancy Barker. She checked with the others in the group, and they graciously gave me permission to use the song for my podcast. Through phone conversations and emails, I realized that 78-year-old Barker personifies the essence of the age of being real. She instinctively found her path in music at a young age. Although she briefly took a more conventional path for girls at the time and went to business school, music always called to her soul, and she followed the call. I met Barker in person in June 2023 at one of the festivals she spearheaded, Kentucky Music Week. It was held in Shepherdsville, 20 miles south of Louisville. Barker was at the sign-in table, recognizable from the photos I had seen, with her long white hair, this day in braids. She was browsing through albums of newspaper clips of past festivals with a friend.
Lily Mae Alice. There's Lily Mae and John McCutcheon. That was in 1981. And this picture is of me backstage at the amphitheater in 1981, tuning up, getting ready to go on stage.
She opens another album filled with photos and newspaper clips of musician friends and events.
This is the Louisville Dulcimer Society. The Louisville Dulcimer Society was started in the 70s, late 70s.
Did you start that?
I guess I did. This is the water tower in Louisville, and the Dulcimer Society held their meetings there.
That's beautiful.
For many years.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, and my sweetie, John Hartford.
Oh.
Riders in the Sky, Tannehill Weavers.
These all played?
All played at the festival. We did just a variety of things through Louisville Dulcimer Society, but a lot of these are water at the Water Tower performances. Ann McPhee is here today, and she and her then husband, this must have been at the Water Tower. That's the only place those windows could be found. And it's still going. The Louisville Dulcimer Society, just to give a little background, I was teaching dulcimer up in Louisville. At a place called the Doo-Wop Shop. It's a music store. And when the class ended, I did it as a class. When the class ended, we wanted to still get together. We had a big party, and we felt like we needed to continue to get together and just play together. And we did. But at the time, the Kentucky Music Weekend was going. It started in 1976 as part of the bicentennial celebration for Louisville.
All around the sign-in table, people are strolling with wagons of dulcimers, guitars, fiddles, and mandolins. It's a gathering that's carefully organized and yet informally friendly. It's a testament to the way Barker has combined her musical talent with her organizational skills. These skills are complemented by her generous sense of welcoming people of all ages to share Kentucky's music traditions. Let me just ask you where we are now and what is the event where we are?
Right now we're at the Kentucky Music Week, and this really would have been the 40th, but we were out 2 years for the pandemic, so it's the 38th.
Did you start this event?
Yes.
38 years.
Anytime I want something to happen that I want to experience and it's not going on, I usually just start it and it takes off. So, but this didn't start just with Kentucky Music Week. It all started at the Bicentennial, 200 years, 1976, when Kathy Sloan, the mayor's wife in Louisville, came to me and said, "Nancy, we need a festival. We need a traditional music festival." And she knew me from my music experience. And so I said, "Sure, Kathy, I'll do it." And she gave me a budget. And we did this lovely little festival. It was supposed to last 1 year. Well, we ended it at 40. So that one happened 40 years. I had not had a summer for 40 years. And we had everybody from John Jacob Niles, Gene Ritchie, John Hartford, just all kinds of people. Mike Seeger, a bunch of people. Some of the Carter family, John McCutcheon, all kinds of folks. People had an opportunity to see these great artists, and there's nothing else like it.
Let me go back a little bit. I'm wondering how you started with music or dulcimer. Like, was it your family, or did you discover it yourself? Because I'm just wondering how you got on this path that's lasted so long.
Back when I was growing up, every girl had to take piano. You know, we all learn piano. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. But I could sing. And so in my teenage years, in my high school years, one of my boyfriends got me a guitar for my birthday. And also, the next year, got me a dulcimer. And so when I brought the dulcimer home, Mother said, "Nancy Lou, what are you doing with a dulcimer?" And it was an Eastern Kentucky where she grew up. That was a well-known instrument there, but I'd never seen one before. So that's how I kind of got into it. I didn't like piano, but I sure did like guitar, and taught myself how to play guitar and dulcimer, and it just progressed on.
Did your parents play music? I mean, were there instruments?
Mother was a singer, and that was it. But she was a singer. Daddy couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, and but Mother certainly could. And
when you started playing guitar and dulcimer, did you have other plans? Like, when you go to high school, that's the time when your parents often say you need to, like, learn something that's going to give you a job.
Right, yes, and I heard that, of course, too, but I was always going to be a musician. I always was. I always knew I was. The way things went with the festivals, they paralleled, I guess, with my life. Even though I studied to be a secretary and became one for 5 years, yes.
Was that after high school?
That was after high school. Went to business college, studied to be a secretary, became a secretary and worked for 5 years and retired. Bought a VW camper and headed out across the country.
How old were you then?
22, maybe, by the time. And so I lived in a VW camper, making music, traveling around for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I always had a partner. I always had a girlfriend with me, somebody who was crazy as I was and was willing to travel around with me. Sandy, her name is Nip now, was Hofmeister back then, but Sandy and I traveled a good deal. But the very first partner I had was my niece, Carolyn. And Carolyn and I traveled. We had a ball. We went everywhere. But anyway, but in there, I started doing Kentucky Music Weekend in 76. I know that. And then that kept on throughout the next years of my life. On the 10th anniversary, I started Kentucky Music Week. And we did it at the Under Tents, outside the amphitheater in 95 degree heat. We had classes, and it worked great, so we kept on doing that one too. As I say, most of these festivals start out as one-time events, but they don't stay like that. They end up being popular and growing.
How were you supporting yourself? Did you have jobs or teach music? What did you do to earn money on your travels? Oh, I don't know how much you saved from being a secretary.
Not that much. throughout this whole thing of always being a musician, always being freelance, always doing things for money, I also became a school teacher and took music into the classroom. I was Kentucky's very first artist in residence hired by a public school system. And I worked for the Kentucky Arts Council throughout this whole time as a traveling musician in the schools.
So you went to college along the way somewhere?
Nope.
So you didn't have like a teaching degree?
No, they don't make degrees in what I have. They don't. As a matter of fact, I've taught as an adjunct professor what I do because there's no one else teaching it.
Which is, how do you describe what you do?
Music traditions of Kentucky, I guess, would be the best way to put it. I've gotten to not only read about and hear about these traditional artists that are our bedrock of traditional music in the state, but I've gotten to know them. They're my friends, and we've played music together, and so that makes it personal. I'm lucky in that I've got all these little feelers out into so many different things. But yes, I made a living in the schools, and ended up when my artist in residence ended with Kentucky Arts Council, the Nelson County School System hired me on as full time artist in residence. And there was no such thing until then. And so I got to do that for 15 years and enjoyed that immensely. It was a dream job. Teachers used to always ask me, Nancy, how in the world do you keep control of these kids? For ghost stories, I would have in the library of the only high school then, Nelson County High, I'd have 200 kids on the floor in the dark and not a peep out of anybody. I mean, and I told them ghost stories, then they got up and shared their own ghost stories from their families. And we just had a ball. Every Halloween, every month of October was, I'd go into different schools. And
was that related to music? No.
That's storytelling, which is another Kentucky tradition. But I also traveled with 15 Yamaha two-sided keyboards, piano keyboards, so I could accommodate 30 kids at a time. So I taught every kid in Nelson County during those years how to play piano.
And you taught yourself, well, you took piano lessons originally.
I didn't take piano lessons, hated it, but I learned it, and so I was able to teach enough that these kids could learn how to play.
And nobody ever tried to, when you were a secretary, nobody ever tried to, like, you just kept sticking with music. It kept growing, it sounds
like.
Kept coming back.
And I'll never forget my old boss, who was so good to me. I told him, I said, I'm going to be leaving. I've worked here 5 years. And he said, but if you wait another few months, just 2 more months and you'll get your 5-year pin. And I said, if you only knew how unimportant that is to me. To spend 2 months when I'll be out in the country. But he was a good guy. Bill Schulte. Mm. But I did architectural design. I've done all kinds of stuff just as part of whatever job I was doing at the time.
Creative person, I guess.
I guess. But anyway, the Kentucky Music Weekend lived 40 years.
And then it finally stopped?
I stopped it because I felt like it should be self-sufficient by then. I was tired of raising money for it all the time. And folk music was at a real high in the 70s and 80s, but it took a dip down. And it was more difficult to raise money for it, and I don't like that aspect of it. I had enough job to do just to get the festival together.
But you've been keeping this Kentucky Music Week going, and that takes a lot of people and
it does
business kind of organizing.
Yeah, it does do
and,
that.
And you said you have how many people here this week?
This is way down. In 2019, we had 615 people signed up to take classes in dulcimer and guitar and fiddle and mandolin. We have 50 teachers. And we still have 50 teachers. Well, of course. And people pay to come. But we're one of the least expensive of the camps.
What ages come here to the camp?
From 7 years old in kids camp all the way up to in the 90s. We've had.
You have people in the 90s
here? We have had. We don't this year, but we have had.
As I walk through the school where this year's camp is being held, music is drifting out from small group lessons. I slip in to hear the group playing bowed dulcimer. I stroll back to talk with Barker, who has gone into the media room where her daughter, Jenny Barker, is set up to record video sessions with some of the instructors. Nancy Barker recalls the evolution of several music festivals she's been involved in, often launching and guiding them.
The weekend evolved into the week, and I would do them back to back. I would do the weekend, and then we'd come down to Bardstown and do the week long.
Directly after.
Yes, and that was too much. So we separated them by a month, and I stopped doing the weekend. It was 40 years exactly.
Yeah. What do you do here now? Do you teach when you're here? What do you do?
Well, sometimes I do, but most of the time I'm just, I just put out fires. You know, I just kind of. But this festival is so easy the last, you know, few years because it's people love to come and they want to come and they come for classes and they take from the very best teachers in the world in this style of music. And it's keeping alive this kind of music. And we've got a lot of young people, late teens, early 20s that are here this year. And they will be getting together on their own to play together and get to know each other from all over the country. So we need to keep this music alive. And
I was going to say, how long do you think you're going to keep working with this festival?
I'll keep doing it again. My staff is slowly taking over certain aspects of it.
She's involved in this 2023 festival at the same time she's looking forward, planning Kentucky Music Week 2024. And there's a new online music school that she's launched with her daughter, Jenny.
This is a new thing with my daughter doing the video part for Kentucky Music Institute, which is a newest company.
This is your daughter?
Yes, this is my daughter.
Yeah.
And she knows computers and she's does the web work.
I'm Jenny Barker.
And did you put this together, the whole Kentucky Music Institute?
With some help. I mainly edit the videos, and I also edit the accompanying images and work with the website.
I get a look at Jenny's graphic design skills as she opens the digital pages of Kentucky Music Institute with photos and videos of the classes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So these are classes, these are lessons people can take, lessons.
That's right, yes. There are multi-part courses, long and brief courses for every skill level.
And this started during the pandemic?
Yes.
Because people couldn't get together?
Like, right. Right.
It was a concern of mine. There's a kind of a hole in someone's life if they're used to attending courses. And much with anything else with the pandemic, it took that away for a time. But we have this wonderful thing called the internet. And so we worked together with some amazing artists to put together Kentucky Music Institute's catalog, which is still growing. I'm still recording for it all the time. And we have a range of instruments and other disciplines as well, such as visual art and vocals. And it's just been a really great thing to allow people to access the kinds of instruction that they would get at Kentucky Music Week. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the instruments.
Well, where do I start? Well, of course, mountain dulcimer and hammered dulcimer. We have some guitar instruction. Of course, I already mentioned visual art. Mandolin, vocal performance, banjo, harmonica. We have some harmonica courses. We also have courses which, more than a class necessarily, are simply sort of like almost more like a brief documentary where we can get to see some storytelling, maybe some musical storytelling from people who are experts in their field. And these instructors are fantastic. They're just some of the best people. Oh, ukulele. How could I forget ukulele? We have quite a few of those courses. And I don't think I've missed anything, but other than visual art, which we also have. And I'm really looking forward to having more things as time goes on.
Jenny, right? Do you play instruments?
I don't. No.
You don't?
No.
No instruments?
No, I can sing. I guess I got that honest.
Yeah.
But no, I don't play instruments.
Isn't that something?
No.
Because, Nancy, you play piano, guitar,
dulcimer. Yeah. A little bit of banjo, but mostly dulcimer and guitar.
Yeah, that's great.
So this Kentucky Music Institute is sort of, I guess it's almost like the next level or the next step in this.
It's the grandchild of Kentucky Music Weekend and Kentucky Music Week as a parent. And from the parent comes the grandchild.
And the hope is that these lessons, these instructions, and these stories can be carried on for a long, long time to come and preserved generationally, because that really is kind of at the heart of that process of passing down folk arts. It's connecting to the past. And so I'm hoping that these lessons can still be accessed 50 years from now, 100 years from now. That's my hope.
That's great. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It really is. So you designed this, basically.
Yes.
Yes, she did.
I love it.
I didn't know she could do all that.
It's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much.
It's great. It's really nice. So I guess I would say, what do you see yourself doing now in the next few years?
Hopefully I'll keep on keeping on. I'm a musician myself, so I've recorded probably 8 or 9 CDs. Most of it that I've done has been original music. And so I write and I...
Oh, you write your own
write
music?
Write and play and on dulcimer. And sometimes Jenny sings on a CD or so, but I sing as well. And I keep it going. That's what I would like to do. What I really would like to do is to get a camper and head out on the road again.
Really?
Go back full circle and...
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. But I doubt if that is in the cards for me.
You said you don't play much anymore. Or do you?
Not as much.
I was going to ask if you could play something.
Right now, I have, in the last month, have developed carpal tunnel. And so I can't hold a pick.
Oh, my God.
Right now. I'm hoping that a pressure cuff is going to help that. If not, I'll have surgery to fix it.
Even though Barker isn't playing dulcimer right now, her daughter Jenny offers an a cappella version of one of her favorite songs.
Kentucky Skies is actually the song I used to kind of train my range. Because it sounds good low and it sounds good high.
What's the first verse?
I've never seen the ocean, but I might go someday. They say it holds a beauty that will carry you away. And as I watch this treasure unfold before my eyes, my soul will always be a part of these Kentucky skies.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Well, you wrote it.
No, but your voice singing it, it's beautiful. Haven't heard you sing enough in a long time.
As Nancy and Jenny Barker continue their mission to keep traditional music alive through generations to come, they maintain their dedication to the ongoing in-person camps that bring hundreds of people together to share music and create community. The expansive offerings for Kentucky Music Week 2024 include dulcimer, ukulele, guitar, banjo, fiddle, auto harp, penny whistle, vocals, and old-time crafts. The 2024 festival will be held June 23rd to 28th in Bardstown, Kentucky. For The Age of Being Real, I'm Rhonda Miller. Music for The Age of Being Real is Kites Over the Ocean by the Kentucky Standard Band.